More around this mayor.
Okay, good.
So the now that the executive session is over, the second item on tonight's agenda is we have invited Ken Coleman from Disaffney and Associates to discuss with the board an existing masonry work that needs to be done to this building at 1 Benwick Street, as well as some roofing, to discuss some roofing conditions that we need to do some work on. So, and I know that Mark, I mean, you want to just mention a couple of things.
Yeah, you know, about a year or so ago, we had asked Ken to give us a status or a report on the condition of the exterior of the building, the roof, the box gutters and cornices, and the brickwork. We have issues with all of those items on here. And he came up with a report and recommendations as to what had to be done. I believe you all got a copy of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then earlier on in the spring, I asked him to put together a proposal to actually get the plans and specifications done for that work and get it out to bid and get the actual work done. There's obviously a few different components of, you know, of the total package of work that has to be done, and there's, you know, questions as to how far we want to go with this, and that's what Ken is going to go into detail on for us.
Okay. Do you want me to review the scope in general? I guess
that's
helpful. Yeah.
So we start. It's addressing both the roof and the masonry conditions. And for the roof, we have a roofing consultant who's out of Valhalla, New York, who's very good. And he did a visual survey. We did not do any destructive testing, which we would want to do, and that would tell us also if we have any environmental issues, asbestos or what have you, which is possible. And then they did a report, and then we also had a masonry consultant who helped us look at a few things, and then a structural engineer as well, because there were some conditions down in the basement area that we thought worth looking at. So that's the report covers all of those items, and essentially, we're recommending that the roofing be replaced, and we're recommending that the masonry conditions be addressed, and there's a variety of them. I mean, some of the obvious ones that you see are the pointing. If you look closely at the brick joints, some of them are very, very much receded. There's chimneys on the roof that are actually in very tough shape, and definitely we've highlighted the chimneys as one of the priority items. So. The water has infiltrated the point where there is some loose brick, and in fact, some that we've found in the gutter, so it's a condition that should be addressed in the near future. In that case, there's some options, because someone has suggested the possibility of either, well, we've suggested rebuilding them in kind, but they could also be removed since they're not functional. And the other thing is to rebuild them, but maybe in a simpler detail than what's up there. It's an attractive detail from an architectural standpoint, but perhaps one that's a little costly to duplicate. So we have that, and then, as I mentioned, there are some interior conditions, mostly down in the what's called the meter room, where there was some water infiltration probably years and years ago that looks like that's been resolved with some of the, I think the building was outside was waterproofed and a storm underground storm system was put in. But there are some masonry conditions that need to be addressed there, and then a little bit in the boiler room as well. So the entire package we estimated for the whole project was around a little over $1 million. I think the hard costs were just under $1 million. The building would require full scaffolding around all sides, so the nature of the work is definitely going to be a little bit of an inconvenience for a while. We're imagining the whole process is 5 or 6 months, most likely. And if the best time would be to start it in the early spring so that you can finish before you have any issues with winter weather. So probably starting in April would be a very good time. We probably need about 3 months to put together the bid documents, and then you'd want to bid it and allow a month or so for that, so you can kind of work out the time.
Meaning starting immediately.
Right. Yes. Yeah, in terms of the design work. So. And in our fee proposal, what we did is we did break down the design portion to prepare the construction documents from the rest of it. So if there was some uncertainty about committing to the whole project, you could at least get the design work started, or at least do some of the testing that's required that would tell us a little bit more about the environmental issues. And then, like I said, if you, there's obviously a lot of photos in here, so you can see the conditions that need to be addressed.
Refresh my memory, because I see we were probably in a prior discussion about maybe removing the chimneys, but one of the issues is the cell equipment that's on the chimneys, is that?
Yes.
Am I remembering that correctly? That it could be an issue with some of the cell?
I think it's three chimneys. The worst chimney, is that a cell tower?
Is this the worst one, this one over here? Or?
No, it's actually the one that's over on this side, yeah, that corner. Well, I understand also there's one less provider now than when we started the report, I think.
I mean, you can look at that releasing chimneys for cell service. You know, there's some that could come down that can be evaluated.
Right. No, I'm just trying to remember if that was an issue, that we wouldn't be able to, that some of the chimneys might have to stay because of, for no other reason, because they're leased out for cell transmission.
Or we would replace it with a master.
Right, yeah.
Right.
I'm just trying to remember if I was remembering that correctly.
Some of the panels are actually mounted to the building itself, right? In this corner over here?
They got removed and mounted to the chimney.
Oh, okay.
The next home.
Oh, okay.
All right, so I mean, you know, it's definitely, it could be a potential significant cost savings if we elected this, just to dismantle the chimneys and not replace them. But again, it's the architectural aspect of it. It's obviously an old building. And
you take the roof off, but a flat roof on it too.
Thanks for that suggestion, Dan, but we'll stop short of that, I think.
So, I guess, I don't know if you have to make the decision now. We're just going to need some direction on how to proceed.
I don't want to minimize the cost of the chimneys, but according to your budget estimate, the six chimneys come to just $75,000 out of $1 million project.
Right.
That's not huge relative to the project. Mm-hmm.
But you maybe don't need all six, right?
I mean, none of them actually, in terms of any building function, they're really not doing anything at this point. They're all capped off on the top. I mean, one was probably the chimney for the boiler, the original boiler. The new boiler has its own stainless steel flue. Mm-hmm. And the others may have been functioning for some type of gravity ventilation system that I would imagine doesn't exist anymore. So, from that point of view, they're...
Well, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I think, you know, you and I had the conversation, and it wouldn't be, as far as the design, from a design standpoint, the cost of design really wouldn't be that significant.
No.
So, I mean, we could proceed and have it included in the design, and then, if we decide, we're not going to have it, we can just take them right out of the bid package.
You mean leave it as an alt add?
You can do it, just show both ways, sure. And one is an alternate, and either an add or a deduct, and one is in the base bid. That would be the way to handle it.
Well, I would imagine, I don't want to belabor this, but I would imagine that if you took the chimneys down, there would be additional work, because there would be
some roofing,
where those chimneys were.
You'd have to span them and cover them, and then you'd have to create a mast. Okay. Base for a post for the cell tower.
I guess not so much even the cost of having the chimneys, not having them, just as part of the immediate project, but whether having them would create additional cost down the road in terms of maintenance, during the life of the new chimneys.
Right.
It's also potentially conceivable that some future owner might want chimneys, but if we've capped them, then he has to either rebuild them, or if they're already there, then he can or she can uncap them and use them. We're only talking about the chimneys from the roof line upward. We're not
talking about
the internal.
Yeah, that's no.
Because they're pretty integral to the structure of the building.
Yeah, you wouldn't. Right.
Everything's
that's exactly
tied into
correct.
It.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And being that we have to replace the roof, it wouldn't be too difficult to have to close up that opening and just go right over those closed up openings with the roofing material. So.
I don't want to impose my aesthetic judgment of the chimneys on anyone else, so I'll leave that part out.
From a logistic point of view, architecturally, what would you be your recommendation, Ken?
From an strictly architectural and aesthetics, they add to the character of the building, so that would be the argument for keeping
potentially,
this.
Potentially, though, removing them, would that lower the price of the building?
I think people would look at that differently, I suppose, Some people may not, since they're really not functioning for any significant purpose, they...
And put your taxpayer's hat on.
Right.
Yeah, gloves without a problem with it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the building has a lot of character. It's interesting if you just look, you know, not, if you look through some of the photos, there's probably details there you don't even realize exist that.
You don't realize that if you just come into work
right,
and leave,
right,
you don't
yeah.
often look up.
I mean, it's a beautiful building. It really is. So.
Yeah, I mean, when you're coming down Old Post and you come to that stop sign, you look up, it's really...
And, you know, the chimneys do give it some height, you know, some implied height, as for the same reason that churches have spires, but at least visually.
Right.
So then potentially, I mean, as it was mentioned before, we could go, if the board accepts, you know, to go ahead with that, with the project, I mean, we could, when we go out to bid, we could have the chimneys as, I guess,
sure.
As an alternate item.
One way to do it, one way or the other, reconstruct them or to, you know, demolish them. And that's a good point. The actual savings probably is going to be something less because we do have to do some structure to span over them and you know, so. That's just one of the items, of course, in there. There are other places, too, where you could do, say, more or less in terms of pointing. I mean, a lot of it needs to be done, but there's probably some places where you could build in some alternates if there was any concern about the budget.
Alternates by, meaning by that, not doing them?
Yes, that you would have the choice of choosing to do them or not do them, and you know the price one way or the other.
So if you chose not to do some of the spots that need repointing, at some point they're going to deteriorate.
Yes,
get worse, and then you end up having to put up all the scaffolding again.
Right. Well, that's right. So that's why we'd have to, it may not be the pointing. I use that as an example, but there are other pieces where we're repairing some of the it's actually precast concrete. A lot of it's not limestone, which we were surprised at. So I mean, those are kind of things that you could come back and do at a later date. Depends on the budget and the funds. And as anyone who's did construction knows, sometimes you get crazy numbers. I mean, you know, even a 100% difference in costs, and it's hard to fathom where that comes from. And obviously the climate has a lot to do with it too. So, you know, for public work, a lot of times we'll just take advantage of alternates just to make sure that there's choices that can be made when the time comes for awarding the project.
What would be the life of a new roof?
There's two kinds of roofing up there. There is a flat roof section in the center, and then the steeply sloped parts, which you see. The original roofing on the sloped parts was slate. I mean, that has a long lifetime. Here we're talking about using a high-grade asphalt shingle, which is what's up. There's asphalt shingles up there now. You can get shingles that have a 40-year warranty, and that have the slate look to it.
About the masonry?
The masonry, with repointing, I think you're talking about 75 years or more. I mean, it depends on the conditions. But
what was the roof material that Holy Name of Mary put on their nave? It looks like
it's the sloping areas.
Yeah.
You know what? Actually, the same roofing consultant that we've hired.
That's very attractive. I don't think it's an actual slate.
It's actually it's an imitation slate.
It's a composite slate.
He's talked about that. He said it really looks convincing.
Looks very attractive.
I mean, and there are some nice asphalt shingle products that are convincing, especially for people that aren't in the business. So, I mean, they do look like slate. And that's what we would do here. I mean, that's what we budgeted was the higher end asphalt shingle. So.
And in the plans and specs, would you try to phase the scaffolding so that the parking isn't all?
You know, we'd have to look at that, because part of that is there's what they call means and methods, which the contractor is really responsible for. We certainly would give him guidance, but, you know, we'd also have to look to them to see how they would be able to phase it and, you know, make it worth their effort in terms of timing.
Potentially for egress and ingress to this building, that they do two walls at once.
Well, that might be a possibility. Where if that helps, and I think it could, because you know you have your parking on the two long dimensions of the building. If they're both fully scaffolded, it's going to really be tough. If you can do one side at a time, or say one long side and a short side, it probably helps
But you wouldn't necessarily put that in the specs, so that they would.
We could, we might. I think that's the kind of thing in the design we would try to think about that, how that would work. What's the best way to phase it? So.
But that could potentially increase the cost of it.
It could potentially, sure.
But we have to function here.
Yeah. Yeah, I think for a job like this, we would also talk to some. In fact, we've had a contractor up here to look at the chimneys, but we'd talk to some of the masonry contractors and get some input on how they felt they could best, staff a job like this and how they would do the scaffolding. So, but ultimately, it will be have to be fully scaffolded to do all the, certainly all the pointing, and it helps with the roofing work as well, is what we were told. So, that would be.
So how, ideally we will have to bring this proposal to the board for your consideration at the next board meeting so that we can move forward with this portion of the project. And as Ken just mentioned, I think the timing of this particular project is a little crucial, especially since if we're going to go ahead with it, right, to be able to go to have it put out to bid so that it can start early.
In the early spring.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Or late winter.
Yeah. Well, one way or the other, we have to keep the water out.
Yeah.
And keep our bricks from falling out.
Yeah.
When was the report done?
This particular report was finished in February of 2013.
And that had an estimate in it, right?
Yes. Yeah. And I don't know. Not sure if we had escalation in there for projecting it for a number of years out. I think at the time we priced it for. For that year.
If you go so far, then we might want to ask Ken to maybe just give us the report's fine, but maybe give us an updated letter on the estimate just so it's,
right,
the same or whatever. That's the number the board's going to have to work with.
Right.
So potentially roughly.
Well, I think that by March, April, whatever, we should have pretty good numbers so that when we do the capital budget, we'll be able to
have
a firm number.
Yeah, if we have a bid so that goes out in March, we should have numbers or whatever.
It seems to me that it's something we have to do. I mean, if the roof needs to be fixed and the bricks need to be repointed, then.
So the initial part we're talking about is the $47,500 that's prepared.
Right. If there was really uncertainty, that would be your risk, if you want to call it that if you decided.
But that's what we're talking about having a resolution for,
right,
at this point, because the other part is for the bidding.
Right.
Sort of thing.
And of our fee, more than half of it is actually going to the various consultants. So we do have a masonry consultant, we have a roofing consultant, structural engineer, that's a small piece. We have included the environmental consultant.
Right.
In our fee, that the initial testing is part of it and the initial report. If we do find that there's asbestos, then there'd be some additional fee for their for doing the construction documents for their part of it. So
didn't we have this building something with asbestos for about 6-7 years ago? Mm-hmm. It was just in the basement. Mm-hmm. Well, that's where we found it.
Right.
But that's the only place we looked. I don't think we looked up into the attic.
Yeah, or the roof. I mean, we'd be testing the flashings of the chimneys and the roofing itself. And,
wasn't that before we started the renovation for that team room?
Well, actually, I think that the testing itself was done probably 3 years before we did the renovation, so it was about 10 years ago that we did the...
We had to have it done before the team room could proceed.
Right. That's correct.
So we're out with the
47,500.
And then we can handle the other stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Also,
that's the other part of that would be the construction administration.
And then that's
this will get us right to bidding.
Yeah, it's in the May. It's in the May. 27th memo.
Bidding and award.
And the next item on the agenda, which is also Ken is part of this discussion, is the proposed site feasibility study regarding potential new site for a new municipal building. And again, this is something that, as you probably remember, we have had discussions about this building. I mean, requires some renovations. This, the amount of space that we have is not adequate for the police department. But there's a few options that the village had considered about 4 years ago, by renovating the second, first, and the basement to be able to fix the village operations. And that included also combining the court room with the meeting room itself. Again, we have given you a copy of that report that was given to the board, actually, I believe it was to 2011.
We have it dated March 2012, that feasibility study.
So anyway, but I think that, you know, there's a few options that we would like to propose to the board, and actually, and can actually, well, Marco, Janine, and I have been working with Jasafi for a while now, just to try to see what the potential options are for the board to consider. Dan also has been involved in that too, as well. So
as we understand, this is really it's a planning study, so we wouldn't actually, we'd be evaluating, well, first of all, we would be relying a lot on the programming that we did in the feasibility study, and also there was programming done a few years before that specifically for the police department. We would also, as I understand it, the Department of Public Works facilities are part of the study, so we have not investigated those previously, so we would want to do some programming for those facilities as well, and then take a look at some possibilities on different sites that would be identified as potential locations for the functions that are here in the municipal building and then the DPW functions as well.
So we have given you a copy of a proposal from Jasafi to do just as Ken mentioned, and that would again include analyzing all the sites and all the need, all the necessary space requirements for each department and that's currently located, as you mentioned, in this building, but as also public works. So,
right.
Any other discussion? I mean, Arthur, that you want to add, and Dan and Janine, you want to add to this particular item?
Well, I mean, I'm sure I said this before. I'm convinced that if we started from scratch and left this building, we could build much more efficient office space that wouldn't just be efficient from the staff point of view, but from the resident point of view, so that they wouldn't necessarily be shunted from recreation to the main office to engineering. My idea was that we would try to have kind of a central office of administrative staff with some of the offices kind of spiraling out, and I think that we could also have a fixed file area, and I don't think we would need as much square footage as we're taking up now. I think we could just, if we had the means to start over, I'm sure we could do a better, we could do a good job. So yeah, from our point of view, I do think that we would like to find another site.
And one of those sites, you know, potentially the village already owns a piece of property on Maple Street, at 4151 Maple Street. Potentially that could be a site where we can explore as a possibility to build a municipal complex that would accomplish, you know, the what we need to accomplish probably in a much more efficient manner than we could by retrofitting an existing building. What happens, I mean, as you probably all know, I mean, to retrofit a building, we will have to make it more efficient and cost-effective, actually. We will have to move out of the building for a while, and then that ends up adding to the cost of construction, because then we will have to find an alternative site someplace.
Well, I think we've certainly worked through every possible scenario of renovating this building, and it certainly means displacing, depending whether you start in the basement or start on this floor, it means displacing some mission critical functions for some long period of time, police, courts, management, etc., engineering, and there was no way to do it without A, having to go find suitable space that wasn't too far away for who knows how long, and then staging each department that was being renovated through that space over a period of possibly 2 years,
right.
Which is, we've had our continuity of government services operation at the Harmon Firehouse a couple of years ago, but this would be way beyond that.
Let me ask you this, because more of a general question, because I think, you know, obviously we're talking about a major thing here, no matter what, renovating this building, going somewhere else. And I think, you know, for someone who just walks in and, like, you know, renews their parking permit, they're probably not seeing the needs that we've all talked about. What's sort of the best source for people in the public, and it should be on the website, for people to understand, like, sort of what's going on with this building and why, what the problems are, aside from the roof that we talked about. You know, I think before we do anything, I mean, this is obviously, we're talking huge amounts of time and effort and money. We want to make sure that people understand sort of what's wrong with the current setup. You know,
staying in the building for the long run means many, many millions of dollars, beyond simply just the shell, because right now we're treating the shell, which is a once every 75 years sort of fix, or once every 35 years for the roof. But all of the heating ventilation system is completely
inadequate,
ill-suited to how you would actually do it. So from a mechanicals perspective, the building is not functioning very well, and we've been sort of fixing it one air conditioning unit or one steam one valve at a time for the better part of 30 years now. Creating a more adequate space for a police department, which is a high priority, means disrupting almost the entirety of the first floor, without necessarily having additional places for those people to go out unless they go outside the building. So the public doesn't necessarily. Most of our public has never actually stepped inside the police department to know how crowded it actually is.
I
don't know that we want to advertise how terrible things are when we try to put a good face on what we have.
Right, but I know. If we're going to really.
Well, both the reports that analyze this, to answer your question, where is it available, are available in the backup documents tonight.
Exactly.
That's what we're working with, those pieces of information.
I know they're on the agenda, but are they also? Is there a separate?
We should have a separate thing
under the projects and initiatives.
That's a good idea.
No one clicks through. I don't want this people to take it on faith of the building's falling apart.
I think it's publicly available.
I understand that. I just wanted to get the information. I want to be sure people know where the information is. I'm not saying
that. Andy, that's a very good idea. We can harvest these and put them on a municipal building project page.
But I think what happened was when we started working on expanding the police department and renovating it, the amount of disruption of this building and the cost almost made us think, and we weren't really going to get what anyone wanted anyway.
Right.
It was all going to be a compromise. Right. The idea was all wired.
I'm not challenging you. I just want. It's obviously going to be a huge topic of discussion, and you want people to have as much,
Can you put it in a little bit of context around the fact that a lot of other things used to be housed in this building, which have now moved out?
Like the town of Cortland?
Yes, exactly. Right. Exactly.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's one of the things. Yeah. I mean, this building, at one point, actually, this building used to be the town offices, the school district offices, and the library was in this building, as well as
Village
Hall. So this building has served, has had a variety of uses and tenants. And I think that when those operations were taking place here, there was really no room to move in any place. But I think that what has happened too, over the years, we do have this building is certainly very strong. There's a lot of wasted space and have a lot of charm. But I think from efficiency, which Janine mentioned before, I think we can be a lot more efficient if we had a better facility that we can consolidate the support staff for the public. We could, provide, I think, a central location where people can go for recreation, parking permits, and, building department issues as one central location. Right now, that's a little inefficient just because of how the building is laid out. But I think to stress and something that the mayor mentioned before, the energy efficiency of this building is non-existent. We have the middle of the offices there either freeze or they die of heat, and the outer perimeter of offices, actually we have the same extremes at different times of the year. This office tends to be like in winter, it's infernal, because in order for them to get heat out there, we have to pump the heat. Literally, when I come into work, there's like about 90 degrees in these two offices, but it's like 55 degrees out there. So the energy efficiency is almost non-existent. The other thing that we have also, the electricity, because of how this building was wired when it was wired, other than there's very few offices that we can actually shut the lights off, when they're not being used. And we have looked at options to rewire it, but it will be pretty expensive for us to do that. And we want to be able to, at one point also, we had brought in the power authority who did a study that they would even put all the lighting so that if depending on the amount of natural light that we're getting from the outside, it would dim the fluorescent lights, to reduce the amount of energy that was being used. But again, those projects cost a lot of money, and the building itself is not adequate enough for us to run government as we could. That added to the fact that the police department is getting at the seams, and part of it also is that the court doesn't have the right temporary cell for prisoners that are being transported from Westchester County Jail. So all these issues, I think,
security issues.
Security issues, and also the police department doesn't have adequate locker rooms for male and female employees of the police department. I mean, right now the female employees actually use a closet that has a couple of lockers, but again, it's not adequate. One of the things, though, is that we...
Is that next to the closet that the village prosecutor uses as an office?
Close to. Pretty close to it, exactly. So there's all these things that, again, we have retrofitted to the spaces that we have to make it work, but it's really not very efficient at all.
Yeah.
I mean, the police department has a video room that's in the middle of the hallway downstairs, which, again, when they have it in use, they have to post two police officers at both ends of the building because it's just not big enough for that to occur in a manner in which it should be conducted. So it adds labor to that particular process. When prisoners are being transported, actually, from the police to the police station into the court, the entire corridor has to be close to the public, and it just creates a lot of conflict and within the building itself. And that's just to mention some of the things that are coming that come to mind.
Dave, you mentioned 4151
Maple,
but what about the other
municipal place also? That's another place that we could consider as a potential municipal building site. The place where the skate park used to be. Mm-hmm. We have a little bit of restrictions with that use of that property because the county has a right of way along the driveway. So whatever we build there may have to be away from that right away. But we could build up instead of necessarily spread it over to the size of the lot itself. That may be a more conducive place also. I mean, there's parking that can be under the building, other options that we have, as a potential municipal site.
Okay.
I was just going to ask for dollars per square foot of approximate construction costs for public sector buildings of good quality. Is $300 a square foot?
That's probably a reasonable number to use.
So, and we had estimated that this building, the renovation process would be about $6 million, I think.
Right.
And that was a couple of years ago. Leaving aside and not accounting for where you put the staff, what space you have to rent for that interim period, or any transition costs there.
Right.
So, doing the math very simply, if it's $300 a square foot times 20,000 square feet buys you a new building at $6 million for the same price as renovating this one, that might give you 20,000 highly functional square feet
right.
at a lower operating cost. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe 20,000 isn't the right number,
right.
But probably not.
Because I know there's more square footage in this building now.
But I was going along with Janine's
theme. Well, then what you get for this building, too, if you're not using it anymore. That's another calculation that goes into it, assuming that you would sell the building.
Exactly.
Right.
Part of selling it, if we were to make a transition with this building, mm-hmm. we would be in a better shape from a seller's perspective if the roof were tight and the place were tuck-pointed and so on.
The other thing, too, is that I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Ken, but most of the options that we had for this building as far as laying it out, if not all of them, required converting part of the basement to public space, right?
Yes, it did require that.
Which we don't even, that's not even,
right.
we're not even using right now other than in storage and whatnot. So, as bad as this building is laid out, as big as it is, we're still going to have to, go into the basement to achieve... our needs as far as space goes, if we did, renovate the building.
Right, but there were one or two functions that might find themselves relocated there, which...
Yeah. I think, what was the historical society?
Right. That was one of the options had then, yeah.
Well, actually, the village historian, because I just want to correct that, because one of the things we have to be very careful is the village historian is housed in this building because she is a village official. The historical society is the support of the historian, and I just want to make clear for the public that we're not housing the society, but rather the village historian, because the society actually is a separate entity. It's not a village entity itself, but the village historian is the village official that's appointed every year. So what I hear you saying
is that the process that you're proposing, given the questions that the village staff and the board has, is a planning process that looks to assess at least one or two sites, such as those two that we mentioned that the village currently owns, relative to the ability of those sites to accommodate the kind of
program,
space programming, that we think we need.
Right.
Which doesn't necessarily mean we take this footprint from this building and
That's
place
right,
it there.
Right.
It means we think
right.
through which functions need to be close together, which can be, you know, should be far apart.
Right.
Recreation department shouldn't be probably right next to the prisoner cells,
yeah,
that
exactly.
sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then we work step our way through that, and, right. and certainly with the notion of having a consolidated central service, central administration area for the public to be able to come to, you know, one focal point for all the various questions seems to make some sense.
Right.
And it's things I've seen done in other civic structures.
Yep.
Where you have a central circulation spine. That
anything else that you want to I had actually asked the police chief, actually, to see me. He had to step back for a second. But I think that maybe if he can just give the board just a quick synopsis of the police department's requirements for space. I know that there are some things that you have been in contact with state agencies as far as what you should have. If you can join us at the table, Chief,
okay.
That would be great.
All right, just briefly. We do have a problem downstairs. We have a holding room problem. We have one holding room for a prisoner. Sometimes we have more than one. We can't put them in the same room because usually if they're combatants or whatever, we can't have them in the same room. So we end up, we have a pipe on the wall that we can handcuff them to, but then that's in the open space. We have people coming in for reports, the public. We have a person
sitting
there.
I came in once,
then,
if you remember, when I came in to meet with you when I first took office, there was a guy handcuffed to the thing in the
right,
in
and
the,
I have to be careful.
Yeah,
we have to be careful that somebody doesn't get hurt. We have that problem. We have a problem. We put them in a hallway. We don't have any facilities. If we, for a prisoner that's a woman, we have a problem with that. We have a problem with even interviewing people. Most of the time, it's a domestic issue, whatever. We need to bring them away from the public, away from the person that
yeah.
they had a problem with. We have to, in order to interview somebody, we can't have them in the hallway and interviewing when other people are walking in or the person that was arrested walking. We do have, as Abe said, we do have a video room that we, when someone's arrested for a felony, A, B, or C felony, we have to interview them and it has to be videoed. We have that. We found the closet. It was a custodial closet that we moved the custodian out of, and we put the equipment in there. We had a grant for the equipment, so that didn't cost us anything, but we had to, redo the room and have it. But the problem is it's right in the hallway in the public. So when we're interviewing somebody, we do have to, pay overtime, put a policeman out there so that we don't have people walking by listening or in interrupting. That's a big problem.
What's the focal length of the camera? 3 feet? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's a close-up one.
Yeah.
We do have issues that we do have to take care of, and that's a big problem.
Okay.
Yeah, and as Abe said, a lot of this stuff is mandated by law because, when we interview a juvenile, they can't be interviewed in the public where an arrested person or an adult is. So that's why we have to be away from that. And usually it's an outside entrance for something like that, so they don't have to go by police headquarters. And that's required.
Don't you also have an issue just with the steepness of the stairs?
That's a big one. That's a problem. Bringing a prisoner in, we have to be careful they don't fall or, if they have a problem with the police officer, they can both fall down the stairs at the same time, and that could be a problem.
Because the steps that go from the parking lot into the police station.
Oh, those are steep, yeah.
Those are pretty steep, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's something, again, that...
That was way before ADA, I'm sure.
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah. And that's the other thing, too. I mean, this building, although we do have a ramp in the back, a lift, where we have a ramp that goes to the recreation room, but we also have a lift in the back of the building. The building itself is really not 100% ADA compliant. I think that right now, it makes it inconvenient for anybody.
Oh my God, I saw this poor woman on Friday. She took the elevator, but she needed to come to our office to get another handicap sticker or something. It must have taken her 15 minutes to get, to get from the elevator, which is on one end of the building, to our office.
Yes.
It's like the elevator's on the wrong side of the...
Right, exactly. Just to add, so really as far as the building is really not ADA compliant. I mean, we've done what we can, what we have, but I think that it will be, that's one of the other things that we will be accomplishing by, with a brand new municipal building. which will be the, in our professional opinion, probably the alternative that we should look into rather than retrofit this building. I think, as the mayor mentioned before, the cost of construction of a new building is far less than retrofitting this building, but we will also have a building that's a lot more efficient in many ways.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't suggesting it might be far less, but it might but it might be roughly comparable, and it may have the benefit of lowering our operating costs in a new building that we wouldn't necessarily have here.
Right. And I think, Janine, you started to say that this, when you saw the numbers for the renovations, and it wasn't even addressing the entire building. It was, we were just focusing on the police department and some other areas, but there were still parts of the building that would be unrenovated. That now you've done this, so why don't you do a study to see what you could do with a new facility or facilities?
And that would certainly compromise anybody when you had to bring the prisoners upstairs.
Well, that was the whole question of having a double-doored elevator and how much that was going to cost to have egress from both sides.
Yeah.
Right. So what we have, again, what we have before us from Gisafi Associates is a proposal to do the feasibility study again. So if you feel comfortable enough, it's $29,000, but you'll do the analysis of the sites. It will give you the objectives and a program of space requirements, and then also the, I can't really see, I've got my glasses, started building diagrammatic alternatives also, and then any recommendations, done at that point. So
it would be those two sites?
It will be those two sites.
I think another problem with trying to renovate municipal buildings, all these things that are not compliant now.
Right. Yeah.
You can't just pick and choose and say, okay, I'll fix this. Because once you start, you've got to make everything compliant.
Right.
So.
Well, and another challenge here is that it'll be very difficult to invent more parking. We always have a parking. We certainly have a parking constraints on Friday afternoons when the seniors have their meetings, but many other times as well. And that's.
And there's the third site we talked about. The third site that's a privately owned site.
Yeah.
Would be part of it.
Right. And that will be, again, for the public works facility that we know that's also an issue that we need to address. Do you want to...
Are there questions we forgot to ask you, Ken?
No. I know we've talked about some of this before, so I think this... it's really a planning study, and we're not designing a building by any sense of the word. We're reviewing the program requirements. I think someone described my office as like a puzzle. You want to get all the pieces and then see how they might fit together on different sites. I think that's the focus of this effort. Mm-hmm. So.
Are there particular public sector buildings at our scale that you think are good, attractive ones? And you don't have to have the answer now, but relative to that you think would be interesting to look at?
A good question. Yeah, I'm sure we could come up with a list of.
Well, we know there's lots of worst case scenarios or less good case scenarios. A lot of municipal facilities do move into schools that through population changes become empty.
Right.
Yorktown School District is leasing out French Hill Elementary School for all kinds of stuff.
Right.
Town of Cortland moved from this old school building to a different old school building on Eddy Street.
Yeah.
Are you talking about new buildings, or are you talking about buildings that were renovated and reused?
Well, obviously, we don't have a suitable building to move into, so we would be doing a planning study for a new facility. But what new, relatively new, construction for local government has taken place
in this area?
In this area, or at least in the Northeast, that you think?
Tarrytown.
Well, Tarrytown. Yeah, I've talked to Mike Blau about that. He would do things differently now.
That doesn't seem that functional to me.
So maybe there's a lesson there,
But, there's been buildings, village office buildings that were existing, that were renovated. And we did...
Bronxville.
That's how Bronxville, and then...
We actually worked in the Bronxville.
They did that, and then they also did the Hastings building when I was there.
We did some work at the Largemont Village.
Were those got rentals, or were those?
Well, that Bronxville was.
What was the Bronxville one?
Hastings was, and Largemont. I don't think that was quite a while ago. I don't believe it was a gut renovation.
Yeah, what's your question, Annie?
When was the Bronxville one done?
I'm thinking it might be about 10 years ago.
Is it that far back?
Maybe not quite that far, but That did have a geothermal system that we installed as part of the renovation.
How much, what was the energy savings by doing the geothermal?
I don't know off the top of my head, but it was significant. And I have a better example. We just recently did renovation at the Hackley School, and in one wing we installed, it was a wing that we got renovated. It was a fire that actually occurred that we had burned down. But the energy savings is remarkable, and the director of business there, who actually runs the facility, I mean, he has everything controlled through his phone, and he's amazed that in the winter he'll warm up the building in the morning, and he doesn't have to do too much more for the rest of the day partly because of the insulation value, that it just holds everything, and it's very, very constant. So he loves it, and he thinks it's been a tremendous savings for that wing, and we just finished renovating a second wing that we were using the same system for, and eventually they want to do the whole complex there. But from his perspective, it's a fantastic solution, you know, in that case, the geothermal system. But it's a whole package. I mean, it's that system, plus it's the energy, it's the insulation
of the envelope.
And the envelope.
And the building controls.
Yep, and the building controls, absolutely. So it's, you know, but they just think it's the best thing on earth, so...
One of the advantages, too, of the geothermal is that you become less dependent on other energy sources because it's just more efficient.
Yeah, it just takes a couple of pumps.
Right.
Yeah. It's very quiet, actually, to see those systems.
Yeah.
And it's a green energy source.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's renewable.
Renewable.
Yeah.
The core of the earth is not getting cooler.
Right.
So it does. We have bigger problems.
Yeah.
So if you're okay with that, then we'll bring the proposal that we have to the next board meeting for your approval, and then we can take it.
Mm-hmm. And the next meeting is December 1st?
December 1st, yes.
Our organizational meeting? Or this will be the meeting after the organizational meeting?
Yes, correct.
But don't say
that.
Yeah,
same
night.
Same night.
I know. It's 15,
so
20 minutes.
We have two meetings that night, exactly.
Yeah.
Which is just, December 1st sounds far away, but it's just next month.
Yeah. It's a week from today.
Right. So
that's far away.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Ken.
Okay.
Thank you. Any more questions? Thank you.
And the next item on the agenda, Mr. Mayor, I request that we go to executive session to discuss a personnel issue regarding a specific individual.
Thank you. Is there a motion to enter executive session on a personnel matter in regard to a specific individual? So moved by Trustee Slippin. So seconded.
Didn't say that.
So moved.
So seconded by Trustee Levitt.
Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
The motion carries at
9:10 p.m.
Sorry,
thank you.
I just heard.
That was good, actually.